In Aksaray, a neighborhood in Istanbul, you can smell the aroma of Syrian shawarma. Arabic language shop signs are common, and Syrian pastry shops line the streets. For the last 7 years since the Syrian war began, Syrians have made Turkey their home. Sophia is a 35-year-old Syrian teacher finalizing her Turkish citizenship. She's considered lucky, one of 70,000 Syrians eligible to become a Turkish citizen. Meanwhile, according to Human Rights Watch, Turkey's deporting thousands of other asylum seekers back to Syria. Sophia decided to stay in Istanbul after she realized the revolution against Assad has pretty much failed. Sophia isn't her real name. She doesn't feel safe sharing her real name now that the Syrian regime may have defeated the opposition. Her family still lives in Aleppo, and she visits them. Sophia comes from an upper-middle-class Sunni Muslim background. The loud voices of dissent against the regime have turned into hushed criticism here. These past few months have wiped away many of the last vestiges of hope for those supporting the Syrian opposition. Assad's forces have captured one of the last opposition strongholds. Eastern Ghouta was bombed to submission. The city was under siege, aid was blockaded from reaching civilians. Meanwhile, Turkey's military just seized Afrin, Syria's Kurdish area. For many of the Syrians in Turkey who fought with or rooted for the opposition, the bloodshed is ending in death and destruction, and no freedom. After the fall of Aleppo in 2016, people here were still speaking out, but now there are fears of being blacklisted. That could mean the regime could bar them from re-entering the country or target their family members still in Syria. Back in 2011, during the Arab Spring, Sophia never imagined it would come to this. She sympathized with the opposition and their push for a more democratic society.
Nobody goes to do voting. We know that, like, we will be with Assad and his father and his grandson, and this is something we cannot negotiate.
Before the conflict began, Sophia was working with an aid organization trying to remain neutral. But when the uprising began in 2011, the regime responded with violent crackdowns. University students, women in a dorm near Sophia's house, became targets.
And I still remember that day. It was very bad. I was in my house, and then they start to bomb the dorms. And it was, like, very close to my house. And we hear the women, then they let them go out with their, you know, night gowns. And the women, they were crying and shouting. And nobody dared to go outside to help. That, when I saw that day, I thought, I cannot feel safe as a woman here.
Sophia wanted to move to Turkey to study. Her father didn't want her to leave, but her mother supported her. In 2012, she traveled to Turkey without her family. Once in Istanbul, she became an English teacher in a Turkish school. She rented an apartment, learned Turkish, and began a new life. But the violence followed her to Istanbul. In January 2016, a Syrian suicide bomber connected to ISIS killed 11 tourists. In response, Sophia organized a trip to the tourist area for women. Tourism had dropped drastically after the attack. Her idea was to help Turkish shopkeepers recover lost business. But no one showed up. Sophia sometimes feels the sting of discrimination in Turkey.
At the beginning, Turkish people, they were really feeling sympathy with us, and they were really helping us. But then, yeah, the Turkish people can, from time to time, give me a word that will hurt my feelings. Like, Syrians, like, you know, they are getting our beaches dirty. I really like Turkey, but I'm not home.
But Istanbul is the best choice for her now. Sophia has visited her family in Aleppo at least 3 times, but getting there is dangerous. For many Syrians in Turkey, even visiting home is no longer viable because they fear the Syrian government would detain them if they cross the border. This is the situation facing Bahadabar, a Syrian engineer who's active in the opposition. The 28-year-old has lost many friends and fears for his life. He volunteers with Istanbul and I, a nonprofit that helps other refugees here. Dabagh, like others in Istanbul, concedes that the outlook is bleak, something he blames not on the will of the Syrian people, but on outside meddling from international actors like Russia, Iran, Turkey, and the U.S. He hopes that one day the Syrian people will be empowered to unite and topple Assad.
Revolution is an idea, and you can never kill an idea. And we hope that one day we can do it in the right way. The wrong way was to depend on, you know, international aid, and that made us more divided because everyone was working on their own agenda.
Daber's refusal to kowtow to the regime is shared by Shaza Barakat, an educator visiting from Syria. She's an outspoken member of the opposition who's in constant danger when she's home in Syria. She says every foreign military power should leave the country. Syrians can eventually defeat Assad if he has no outside help. Barakat is here just for a week before returning to Idlib, the last bastion of the opposition. While some Syrians in Istanbul say there's still a role for the West in stabilizing the country, offering humanitarian aid and rebuilding, others like Barakat have lost all trust in the international community. Back in the Syrian restaurant, Sophia enjoys her smoked chicken. She says Syrian food gives her comfort.
Sometimes I come with my friends who are like from all around the world and we try the Syrian food and they like it actually.
For Sophia, losing the war is depressing, but life has to go on. She'll continue to visit her family whenever possible. Becoming Turkish won't make her less Syrian, she says. It just gives her a safety net in a volatile time. For America Abroad, this is Feribanoa in Istanbul.